and people have heard it. Even people that aren't you know, hanging out at church all the time, that sort of thing. This is one of those passages that so many people are familiar with. And when you preach from a passage that everyone is familiar with, one of the things that happens is that people stop listening. So I want you just to do me a favor. Forget everything you ever read on this passage. And just for a moment, let's take a look at this passage in Luke chapter 2, where it tells of this incredible story of Jesus coming to the planet. And I'm in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to begin with verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Let's just read this together, okay? "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the words concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." It's a great story, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's like, oh my goodness, can you imagine what it would have been like to be a shepherd on that night in that particular vicinity, and in the midst of everything, you're kind of maybe halfway dozing off, and then you have this incredible visit from the angel of the Lord. And every time we see the angel of the Lord, almost the first thing out of an angel of the Lord's mouth is what? Don't be afraid. Now, apparently, if you see the angel of the Lord, it's a fearsome thing. But my question is, why shepherds? Why shepherds? Now I like to romanticize things. I'm a history buff. I love to read about the Civil War. I love going to Civil War battlefields and things like that, and just reading the history about related to that, World War II. But the truth be known, I tend to romanticize all those stories. I kind of take off all the rough edges. And so in the romanticized version of shepherds, well, we have shepherds who are forgotten. They're isolated. They're alone. Nobody cares about them, you know. They're sick. They're dirty. They're nasty. They're stinky. All those kinds of things. And Jesus, his first proclamation that Jesus has been born is made to the people who are forgotten and pushed aside. And that plays really well. But why shepherds? Could it be there's something more than just that? I mean, that's great. I mean, and anything I'm going to tell you today is not going to refute that reality. The reality is, if you're a shepherd and you're sleeping with sheep, you stink. That just happens. I mean, you know, we don't have a whole lot of livestock around us, but we do have some livestock. And the reality is they leave surprises. And you don't know where those surprises are going to be, and they dry up, and then they get wet when it rains, and yeah, you can be right in that mess again. And they're there, and if you mess with livestock, you're going to get dirty, and you're going to smell like them. And if you're out at night working with them, sleeping in that same area, staying with them, the reality is you will stink. So anything I'm going to tell you today is not going to take the stink away, all right? Are we good on that? So I'm not going to destroy anything in your life. But here's the deal. Why shepherds? Why would God want to speak to shepherds? Shepherds are central to the story of Israel, if you think about it. If you go all the way back to the beginning of the nation of Israel, it's Abraham. Abraham was a shepherd. He had herds of animals. He was a shepherd. He raised animals. And he herded them across Canaan. That's where he was. And God blessed him and encouraged him. His son Isaac, guess what? Shepherd. His son Jacob, shepherd. Shepherd Jacob and his sons were shepherds. They were keepers of flocks. Shepherding is central to the story of Israel. Even their first king, David, King David, guess what? He was a shepherd. In fact, he was a shepherd. He was the youngest shepherd in the family, and nobody thought to invite him to the party and said, hey, you're the young kid. You got to stay and watch the sheep while we go to the party that the Samuel is called. And Samuel is a prophet. Prophet, anoints David as the king of Israel. Guess what? He's not king yet. He's still just a shepherd boy. His older brothers made fun of him. All this kind of stuff. It all plays really well. David was a shepherd. And David recognized an attribute of the shepherd. And he saw it in God. Listen to what David said in Psalm 23, one you're very familiar with. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. You know, if we just stopped right there and went home with that thought right there and just said, you know what? I lack nothing because God's my shepherd. God is your shepherd. If you know Christ as your Savior, guess what? God is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David understood that God was a shepherd. There's something central to the whole story of Israel about shepherding. But why shepherds still? I mean, there could be other reasons. The prophets talk about a shepherd that was coming. The prophets pointed to, look at this passage in Isaiah. Isaiah says this, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He's pointing to the servant who was coming and going to save and redeem Israel. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. It's a kind, compassionate shepherd who loves his sheep. Look what Ezekiel said about the sovereign. This is what the sovereign Lord says. This is what God himself is saying. I'm going to come and search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land. There they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. See, there's so many reasons why shepherds. It's even Jesus talked about shepherds. And he said that if there's a way to understand who the true shepherd is, somebody who really cares. Listen to what Jesus said about those shepherds. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Look at this passage. Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All others who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So there are lots of good reasons for this to be shepherds. But then the question is, why these shepherds? Well, you know, you could just say, well, they were the closest ones to Bethlehem, and nobody else is going to travel from, you know, Ukraine and travel all the way to, you know, that ain't going to happen in a night. You know, you can be practical about it. But, you know, Jesus, God does things purposefully, and there's a purpose for everything. And we can understand that there must be a reason. Why is God speaking to these shepherds? Let's look at it. Look at it again, okay? Look specifically, I think, at verse 10. Now, I want to, some of the things I discovered was this, okay? I want to read this quote. This is a rather long quote, but I want to read it to you because it's important to understand what's going on, okay? These shepherds were only about 8 miles from Jerusalem, okay? And Jerusalem is the temple, and the temple is where they sacrifice lambs. And they sacrifice lambs, and lambs have to be what? Perfect and without any flaw. They can't have any flaws. And so these particular sheep were probably in this region. Now, here's what we've, this is history. So I'm just going to kind of read to you a quote that I want to make sure you get the context. We know that they were priests because of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a group of documents that recorded oral traditions that governed the Jewish people during the time of the Pharisees. And one of its regulations states, It expressly forbids the keeping of flocks throughout the land of Israel except in the wilderness. The only flocks kept otherwise would be those for the temple services. So here's the deal. Flocks were kept, but they were only kept in the extreme wilderness. They were kept out, away from people, because of cleanliness. That's the key, okay? Again, livestock leave surprises, don't they? And you want to be careful where you're walking. Well, if you're a good Jewish person, you want everything to be kosher and clean. And that kind of filth is not going to be, you can get, so they were very particular about where these sheep were going. But these particular sheep were raised close to Jerusalem. And the reason they were raised is these shepherds were in the fields surrounding Bethlehem, not out in the wilderness, but where regular sheep would normally be kept. So they must have been priests. They're part of the priesthood that cares for the sheep, that would provide those sheep for what? Temple sacrifice. And so now you have this picture. Okay? So why would these shepherds be doing it? Because they're preparing. This is part of the quote. Okay, so why would these shepherds be the ones that God is speaking to? Because these particular shepherds are caring for sheep that are going to be sacrificed in the temple. Now think about it. Get the picture in your mind. Jesus has come, and he's going to become the perfect sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God. I find it interesting. Right now, I'm one of my Bible reading things is I have a Bible every morning, and as I'm reading, I read through the Bible. Well, this time of year, guess what? Where I'm reading? Toward the end of the Bible. What's there? Revelation. I'm reading a lot about the Lamb who was slain and yet is alive, and he's leading armies and everything. Well, this is the perfect Lamb of God who was murdered on the cross and became the sacrifice for our sins and paid the debt for our sins so that we could have grace that God made available to us. Here is Jesus being born in a manger not far from where these shepherds who are tending sheep and caring for sheep whose destiny is what? To be sacrificed in the temple. and Jesus or God comes to them. And think about it. Well, let me just say this. When the angel of the Lord speaks, he's speaking God's word. So in essence, when the angel of the Lord is coming and speaking to you, it's the presence of God himself. It's vicariously, it's sort of like when we send an ambassador to it. Well, maybe it's nothing like that, okay? Because, you know, so why these, you know, yeah. So why these particular shepherds? Because these shepherds are getting the news, hey, temple sacrifice is coming to a conclusion because the one lamb is going to be sacrificed. It's a beautiful story, but here's what they did. Look at what they, what happens next. Okay, in this verse, why these shepherds? I think at verse 10 is what, there we go, yeah. But the angel said to them, let's read verse 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Let's take a look at this. The angel said to them, don't be afraid. We already talked about this. Because when the angel of the Lord appears, now I don't know about you, but if I was a shepherd out tending sheep in the middle of the night, I pretty much know what's going to happen every single night. I'm just watching for, you know, in my context, I'm watching for coyotes, you know. It's crazy. You can hear them at night at our house, and you know they're there, and you can hear them moving through the woods and stuff. You hear them making all this noise. Well, if I had animals that I was concerned about, I would be out there to protect my animals. But in your, and so you're half asleep and you're half awake, and then all of a sudden this huge bright light. You know, one of the theories is why these particular people is it's so busy. You know, everybody's so busy. And you think, oh, wait, it wasn't Christmas then because Jesus wasn't born yet. They don't even have Macy's yet. So it couldn't have been busy. It was busy. Why? Because there was the registration. Everybody was going to their town to obey the census. And so people were going their places. That's why there was no room in Bethlehem, because it was overcrowded. People were moving, and it was active. It was busy. And so you think, oh, yeah, bright light. Well, hold on. Let's just think about that. If the angel of the Lord and the multitudes appeared, I think it would stop all activity, you know? So, I mean, like, if you're on Wilma Rudolph Road and the angel of the Lord appeared one tonight, you know, everything would come to a stop. Hold on, wait, that's not a good example. It's always at a stop on Wilma Rudolph. But you get the idea. I mean, you know, it's not because everybody was so busy and the shepherds had time to hear from God. God was speaking to these particular shepherds because these shepherds were central to, and they were even looking forward to. The shepherds, there was actually a tower in the field that would help identify threats. And there was a shepherd that would be up in that tower, and other shepherds would be out with the sheep. And he would be able to see, oh, and he is literally watching over the flocks by night. It was literal, you know, Luke is telling us all this information. He's assuming we know it all, but we don't know that there were shepherds in a tower watching over the sheep. We don't know that these shepherds were watching over particular sheep. And he says, look, this is, I bring you good news that will cause great joy. This is good news. It's going to be great joy. It is exciting news that I want to tell you about today, not tomorrow. This is something they've been waiting for and waiting for. All of Israel's been looking forward to the day when the Messiah would come, and the angel of the Lord is saying, today, it's happening. How many nights had they been in that wilderness watching sheep and nothing ever happened? Today, the Lord is going to deliver. Today in the town of David, a Savior. Look at what he calls this, a Savior. He calls them a Messiah and the Lord. A Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. He says, I don't want you to, he's coming to save the people. Yeshua is his name. He's coming to save the people. He's the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He's the one that God has pointed to. He's the one that all the prophets were talking about. This is the one, the Messiah, the Lord. And in case you didn't, I don't want you to miss this. He's saying, this is God himself coming to the planet. This is incredibly good news, and it causes great joy. this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. He gives them two signs. He says, I hope the next screen talks about, yeah, they're good. Thank you. You know, he gives them two signs. You know, one of the things I, you know, when I was a new father, now that I know this, just FYI, this is not swaddling cloths, okay? But it is a swaddling blanket, okay? It's not made of linen, which would be normally what they would make the swaddling clothes with. And the reason they would use linen is because that was available to them. Flax is what you use to make linen. So linen is a linen garment was what they would use to swaddle up their babies. I loved it. I don't want to tell too much, but because I, you know, one of my kids is here. But one of the things I loved about, I didn't know how you could swaddle. If you don't know how to do this, it is an amazing trick. You know, take a baby, a little bitty baby, and wrap them up in a swaddling blanket super, super tight, and they just love it. I'm like, I think they would be fighting it constantly, but they just love it. It gives them comfort and encouragement. And they took this and they swaddled baby Jesus. Now, just imagine that this is linen cloth, and they swaddled baby Jesus in this, and they wrapped him up in these linen cloths. This week, as I was thinking about that, I realized that wasn't the only time. Think about this: Jesus was born in a stable, I guess. Now people think it was probably a cave in that area, but a stable. He was born in a stable, and his mother gave birth, and they had these swaddling cloths, and they swaddled him, and they wrapped him up tightly. Do you know they also used swaddling for the sheep? Because sheep had to be presented clean and without defect, and they would use swaddling cloths to wrap up the sheep, to keep them clean so that they could bring them and present them for the offering. They would clean them. Have you ever been to a county fair and the animals? I pastored some churches in southern Indiana and had a bunch of kids that were, you know, 4-H'ers and stuff. And, man, they would make a pig look cute, you know? They'd clean them up, but, man, as soon as you turn that pig back into the field. But what were they doing? They even used makeup on some of these. They would clean them up because they wanted the pig or the cow or whatever it was to look perfect for the judges so that they could score a certain way. When you brought that sheep to the priests, they would inspect it. And so they would wrap the sheep in swaddling clothes to keep it from getting damaged in some way in the transportation. Isn't that amazing? And I began to think about that. Joseph, as a dad, swaddled his kids. And then I remembered there was someone else who swaddled Jesus. Look at this. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth, and he placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had laid. You know what his name was? Joseph. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. We know that because in John's gospel it tells us that that happened. And so Joseph, dad, swaddled him as a baby. And Joseph, the rich man, swaddled him. I can't even say that word. You get the idea. He wrapped him in these linen cloths. But when Jesus came out of the grave, what was left? His swaddling cloths. He left them there. He left them there because this wrapping, it represents death. It represents everything that ties you up, everything that binds you. Sin binds us. Sin keeps us. And Paul says the struggle doesn't end when we become Christ followers. The struggle only gets more difficult. Peter walked into that grave and he looks and he's, however, he got up, he ran to the tomb, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering what had happened. Here's what had happened. Dead men, somebody had stolen the body, they would take the cloth with them. I mean, just think about that. They would have taken the cloth. No one stole the body. Dead men need this to be covered. If you're living, you don't need this. And Jesus took that linen cloth off, and he left it in the tomb as a sign to say, hey, I'm done with being a baby in a manger. I'm done with being, I have become the Lamb. I am the Lamb of God. I'm the perfect Lamb of God, and I've laid down the sacrifice, and I've come to encourage you to throw off the death clothes that you're wearing. Now, do you hear me, what I'm saying? There's a reason we sang. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you need freedom, he is one who breaks chains. The story goes on. Let's keep going. I could stop right there, but I got to keep moving. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared. It's almost as like they bam. They just this is me. In my imagination, it's this. It's that the angel that got chosen to send the message, all the other angels were like, he's not doing it big enough. And bam, they all showed up. You know, it's just like this impulsive burst of joy from heaven. And all this time I thought they sang, but they didn't. They were chanting. They were saying something. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. God is bringing peace into the world. He's inviting us to be a part of that. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, wow, that was interesting. No, he said, let's go find out what's going on. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Now, so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Now, look, they were looking for what? Two signs. One sign was swaddling clothes. That's normal. Every baby that was born, if there were, 30 babies born in Bethlehem that night, we don't know, okay? But if there were eight babies, if there were three babies born in Bethlehem on that particular night, guess what? They were in swaddling clothes. But the unusual thing would be this baby is in a manger. This baby is in a feeding trough. The person who would feed the world, grace, the person who would lay down his life that we might have life was going to be in a feeding trough. These shepherds knew that they needed to look for stables, and they went through the town looking through stables. And when they found, now it just says when they had seen him, look, think about it. When they found him, they found them. They found Mary and Joseph. Now, think about it. Just roll your brain. Try to get a part of that. We were talking about Joseph this morning. You know, Joseph, he kind of finds out about Mary's being pregnant, and we don't exactly know how, but he got the word, or he realized, he looked at her and says, you look pregnant to me. You know, you've been away visiting your cousin Elizabeth, and you're coming back. You look a little pregnant to me, and I know it's not my baby, and there's all this stuff going on. Angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. You know, he takes him as his wife. The angel of the Lord appears to Mary, tells him. I mean, there's just all these angels that have showed up, but that was 9 months ago. That was 6 months ago. That was a long time ago. You know, when you're 20-something years old, you know how long a month is? It just seems like forever. Now, let me just say something. At my age, or we're, you know, now they just fly by. You know, just boom. You know, all of a sudden it's December. Yesterday was January. You know, so here's the deal. And tomorrow's going to be January. But anyway, let's just do this. Okay, here's the deal. Those shepherds showing up on that particular night after Mary had gone through birth, her very first birth, and the baby's born. Hey, you know, I know when we look at nativity scenes, everything, we see all these stars and these bright lights in the midst of all that. You know, and I know, I'm not saying they weren't there, but the reality is Luke doesn't tell us that, oh, by the way, when baby Jesus came out, He was shining like a bright star. That's not, he came into the world just like anybody else. He was born, and he was born in a stable. And he was wrapped in swaddling cloths to comfort him so that he could sleep. And he was placed in the manger. And then the shepherds showed up. They not only confirmed for themselves what God had spoken to them, but they also affirmed to Mary and Joseph, hey, this is real. He really is the Son of God. He really is the Messiah, the Anointed One. He really is the Lord of heaven and earth. He really is orchestrating all of this. All of time and everything is wrapped up and coming to this point. And when they had seen him, they spread the word about it. When you find out something that is incredibly good news, you cannot keep it to yourself. Any of you have been to a great restaurant lately and something new you tried and it was really good? Yeah, okay, I heard one. You see, there's people want to get up and testify, okay? No, we're not doing it. We're not going to testify about that. We're going to talk about how good God is, okay? And God gives people certain crafts and they can create food like that. Hallelujah, you know? Okay, but here's the thing. When you got good news, you want to spread it and you concern. They're telling everyone about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And Mary. Think about young Mary. She's got all this stuff. Have you ever had lots of events going on in your life and you're trying to make sense of everything? This is Mary. On the birth of this baby, the shepherd showing up, and all these things are occurring all at once and you're trying to make sense of it. Put it all in order. This doesn't make sense. First of all, this is not how babies come into the world. Babies come into the world a very natural way, okay? They don't come into the world, Son of God, God hovering. What? How does that even work? Somebody said in our class, I don't even know how it works the normal way, So I can't figure that out, but it doesn't make any sense. You're right, it makes no sense. Why would God come into our mess and try to clean us and somehow try to redeem us? Why would he do that? Because God loves you, and God loves this planet. And Mary was treasuring all these things, and then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What an incredible night. Can you imagine? I just imagine them telling their grandkids about this. Hey, you should have been here the night. The guy who, called in sick, and the next night he shows up. And they're like, oh, man, you picked a bad night to call in sick. No, this was incredible. Okay, here's what happens when we look at this next screen. The appropriate response to good news is great joy. It's praise. It's celebration. It's curiosity. Let's go see this thing that God has told us about. It's amazement that God would include us, that would speak to us. And then we tell other people. We talk to other people. And like Mary, there's thoughtful meditation. What does all this mean? These are all appropriate responses to good news. Let me tell you one thing that's not appropriate response to good news. Never unbelief. I can't imagine that there, I do imagine. There's probably one of those shepherds that are like, I ain't going with you. I'll stay here with watch these shepherds, a sheep. Somebody's got to watch these sheep. You guys go on. I ain't believing all that mess. This Christmas season, one of the things I've been trying to encourage us to do is to hope again, to believe again. And the reality is that, yeah, sure, how can I do that? I mean, you look at what's going on in the political world, you say, somebody's got to be lying. They can't all be telling the truth. And maybe they're all lying. You say, well, hold on, wait, the economy is, just bustling along. Everything's going great. So it's got to be good, right? But we all know that just as quickly as it comes, it can dissipate. Any of you around 2008, and most of you are old enough to understand what 2008 happened, and we just wonder, is that going to happen again? Is that bubble going to pop? Is something going to destroy the market? Is it going to impact the world food chain? I mean, are we going to have a war with China? And then there's all this unrest around the world, and you're asking me to believe again, to hope again, to make room for somehow for God to write a story in my life? That ain't happening. I'm keeping my arms crossed. I'm saying, whoa, hold on a second. And then just bring it into the church. Look, I grew up in church. I got a problem with church. I've been around it all my life. And some of the greatest people I've met are church folk. Some of the meanest people I've met are people who say, I'm a Christ follower. Some of the people who have hurt me the most have been people that say that they love Jesus. I think about this church. This church was a bundle of activity and full years ago. And then something happened. It's not important that we know exactly what happened, but the reality is this. Somebody got hurt. And so you're asking me to believe again? I don't know. I want to, but I don't want to get hurt again. I don't want to, if I put myself out there, if I expose myself, if I believe again, if I care again, if I open myself up, I just might not be able to take it. But is that living? Is that really something that's living? Or are you wrapped up in shrouds of death, and you won't let go? Jesus came to say, "Strike off, take off." Remember the picture of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? I love that picture. There's two things I want you to tell. I just noticed that this past week. First of all, did you know that Jesus was buried in a tomb that had never been used? Think about it. Look at that. They recycled tombs, bodies, and then they move things away, and then they put another body in there, and then that body kind of, and then they move, So that's the reality. That happens. They reuse tombs because that's what they did. And when Lazarus was in the tomb, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Why? Because if he had just said, "Come forth," there would have been a stream of people coming out of there. Jesus was buried in a brand new tomb where no one had been laid. One of the reasons why I think that's true is because when the resurrection power came in him, everything around there changed. Listen, the power of the resurrection lives in you. And whatever it is that's binding you, whatever it is that's holding you down, why not cast it off this morning? Why not let go of it this morning? Why not say, "You know what, God? I've been hurt. I've been lied to. But that all happened to you too. You were betrayed by somebody who shared meals with you for a price." That never happened to me. No one ever sold me into death. They've done some pretty nasty, mean things to me. Okay? I admit that. And I know, and here's the deal. I'm not telling you to say it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay when people do mean, nasty things to you. It's not okay, too, when you do mean, nasty things to people. But that's the shroud of death that's holding us, and it's binding us. And I'm asking you this morning, God is asking you this morning, are you going to live with this? Are you going to keep this wrapping you up? Is it going to keep tripping you up and keep failing, keep causing you to fail in the very thing that God wants you to succeed in, and that's have life? Jesus came to this planet. He came to those particular shepherds, and he was saying, listen, I'm putting this shroud on, and I'm carrying it to the cross, and I'm going to die so that you can let it go of it. This morning, I invite you. You can do it where you are. You don't have to embarrass yourself. You can come up here. I'm inviting this church, the people that are gathered here this morning, to simply say to God, God, what's done is done. I want to let go of everything, every hurt I've ever had. I just bring it to you. And I say, God, I want you to heal me of this. I want to believe again. I want to have hope again. I want to believe that, yes, in fact, Jesus came to this planet to set me free. I'm going to ask Caleb. He's going to go to the piano, and he's going to play a song that he and I just love, In Christ Alone.